Good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to this Sunday afternoon of the big induction of the big puzzle. I'm coming to you live. Excuse me. Just spilled something there. Excuse me. What a way to start. Coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia through the facilities of People Internet Radio. We are a viewer-supported radio, so please, radio station, so please hit the donation button and help this station stay on the air. Sorry about the rough start there, guys, but I actually spilled something on myself. Wasn't that kind of embarrassing? I love amateur radio because I can be an amateur once in a while. Well, I am an amateur, but anyways, thanks for joining in today, guys. And I'm joined by Ron Stevens today. Ron, I've had many, many conversations with in the past, and looking forward to this next hour. We're going to discuss some of the globalist agenda that we see being manifest in Canada. And I'm going to try and keep my blood pressure down, and I'm going to try not to issue any kind of profanities during the next hour. But to be quite honest, folks, at this point, when I start talking about the Canadian government and some of the things I see going on in Canada, I do want to swear, but I won't. So anyways, Ron, thanks for joining me today, buddy, and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Barry. I always enjoy your show.
How's that for a start?
But we want a YouTube. We want a YouTube up of your spillage there.
That's the worst start I've ever had to show in my life. I'm sitting here going bleep bleep bleep. Anyways, go ahead, Ron. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's good to be here. So where are we going today? I'm really interested in the BC forest fires because you're there and I'm not. And I used to live in BC, and it breaks my heart to see what's going on out there.
Well, believe it or not, right now, almost a quarter of British Columbia is burning right now. We have, I didn't get the numbers today, but 2 days ago I looked at the numbers. We had 612 fires going. We have fires going very close to Terrace. The air quality in Kelowna, British Columbia, 3 days ago was the worst air quality in the world. They hit 265 particulate matter per, I think it's on a million scale, but compared to places like Beijing, China, and what's the other city in China? I forget the name, but I can't pronounce it, but they were recording 170 parts per, I believe it's a million. So British Columbia has some of the worst air in the world right now. We have had a little bit of wind come in. Terrace a couple days ago, it was, let me think, what day are we here? Sunday. It was on Wednesday. We couldn't see a half a mile away in Terrace.
Really?
That bad. Yeah, half a mile. It felt like you were sitting over top of a campfire. That, you mean the smoke was so prevalent in the air, almost to a point where it's burning your eyes. And I'm quite a ways away from the actual fires. The interior of British Columbia, places like Clinton, Williams Lake, Quesnel, Prince George, are just really having a bad time right now. We're still a month away from probably the end of fire season. We get it right till the end of September. So we got a rough year coming up here, Ron.
Yeah, but I lived in BC, and there's always a forest fire going on in the summertime or several, but this is off the charts. And of course, I blame it on global warming, which really has nothing whatsoever to do with it. You know, most of the fires are started by lightning strikes. And unless the skies in BC are completely lit up with lightning all the time, I can't, what'd you say, 600 and some fires?
Yeah.
That's off the charts.
Yeah, you know? Last year was the worst year in BC's history for forest fires, and this year we're on course to make that look like a low figure. It's unbelievable. But the funny thing about it, Ron, and of course I've been on the internet and done a lot of looking at what's going on with California fires. I'm looking at wildfires, and it seems no matter where you look right now at wildfires, we're seeing a different pattern in the way they burn. Yep. They're burning hotter and faster. I got a buddy down in Williams Lake, and I had an in-length conversation with him, Ron. And you're hearing this from anybody that's frontline on these fires is telling you the exact same thing. They've never seen fires act like this or behave like this. This guy's been fighting fires in British Columbia for 30 years.
Yeah, these are not
normal.
Natural fires.
So what is causing it, Ron? Well, we've really got to look at what they're spraying in the skies, and I am not a conspiracy theorist at all. I've really looked into geoengineering. I've looked at the patents that are online right now for public viewing of the chemical compounds that they're supposedly spraying in our sky to deflect the sun, to stop global warming, you know, the bullshit crap, excuse my language. But anyways, these particular matters, and this opinion is shared by thousands and thousands of people now, that they're a metal-based particulate. And of course, we got this thing called gravity, and they're going to end up on the Earth. And in British Columbia, you know, the situation with the pine beetle here, the festation started about, I think it was almost 20 years ago, and they could have stopped it, Ron. They could have stopped it dead in its tracks, and that is an absolute travesty. But anyways, that's been going for 20 years now, and we have literally tens of thousands of square miles of standing dead pine that have been standing dead for years, and they're just a tinderbox ready to go. And of course,
well, you know, Barry,
you look at the whole situation, it's a recipe for disaster. Go ahead.
Right. You know, like if we implant an infestation of beetles and kill the pine trees, and then why don't we drop a bunch of aluminum down on the bush that's already dead and start a fire? It ought to burn pretty damn hot. It's nothing to do with conspiracy theory. I mean, there is a conspiracy to destroy nations, and they cannot, you know, I keep telling people, you know, this is a spiritual psychological war. They cannot bomb North America. You can't sell that. There's no, I've looked through that. There's no way you could possibly sell this.
Right.
So if you go back to 1950 with the Senate hearing with Paul Warburg, and he said, there will be a world government by consent or by conquest, right? Well, they have the North American people running around. I'm sustainable. See, I'm so sustainable. They don't have a clue what's going on. They don't understand the negativity of that sustainable development nonsense. So they can't bomb us into submission. So they get us to consent, and they start all this chaos and call it global warming and this and that and the other thing to fear people. Oh my God, we got to be more sustainable. Got to be more sustainable. Now in, I think it was 2015, Harper at the G7 or G8, one of the two, made the declaration that Canada would stop the use of fossil fuels, you know. So what are we building these pipelines for? Where are the pipelines going? They're going to the West Coast. Well, what are they going to the West Coast for? There's just water out there. Well, they're going out there for, you know, China wants to move a little bit away from coal and move to natural gas. Well, we're on schedule to stop using all fossil fuels, and they want to put up the LNG terminals and that, liquid gas terminals. And so we're not allowed to use our own fossil fuels. They're going to get shipped out of here to China. Like, we don't use coal, at least not in Ontario. And yet we shipped 60 million tons of coal out of Canada last year. Where the hell's it going? If nobody's using coal, where the hell's the coal going? Well, if we're not using it, the market price goes down. And as Morris Strong said, over in China, we already got the cheapest labor on the planet. Nobody can compete with us. What do we need now? We need cheap energy. So we're being sucked dry by this nonsense called sustainable development. And the general public have to come to terms that you're being consented into the death of your nation. It's got nothing to do with conspiracy theory. They write all this stuff down.
Yeah, I know. I just use that as a term, but people refer to that all the time as you're a nutcase, you know, but I'm not.
Well,
and you're, you know, but anyways,
I was at a meeting one time, and the guy, the presenter, and it was a large, large meeting, and the presenter says, you know, they were pushing this film about Cuba. We should grow all our food in the mediums of the roads. And, I said, this is all UN horseshit, excuse my language. And he stands up and says, oh, I see we have a conspiracy theorist in the crowd. And I said, well, you blew that one, buddy. Right. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I deal in fact. And he could not get out of that building fast enough. Right. It was actually quite comical. They try that nonsense, you know, oh, you're a theorist, you know, whoo. But you can shut them up pretty quick and make them run. But I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how to get the people strong, right? You know, like I'm trying to get people above this idea of this right-left nonsense, which is, you know, if you track it back, where did the two-party system come from? It came out of the French Revolution. Well, what came out of the French Revolution? The Russian Revolution to take over the Bank of England. The two-party system is just simply a system. And I wish people would get that through their thick skulls. It's a system to divide the nation, to divide the people. And, you know, there's an old saying, a divided people can't stand long. And this is all, this is just a tool, to keep people confused. Well, I hate the liberals. Well, we'll vote conservative. And the next election, you hate the conservatives and you're voting liberal. Like, how often do you have, you know, what's that say about idiot? You keep doing the same thing over and over and over and ending up with the same result. At what point, people, do you realize that this is a scam, right?
The illusion of choice, eh?
Right. You got to get above that.
You do. And I'm going to get your input right now on Maxime Bernier and the fact that he's made a statement that he's going to start another party and that all of a sudden it is gaining unbelievable momentum. I am not one that likes politicians. You know that. I know that, Ron. We know what they are. But this man is saying some things that are really resonating with Canadians coast to coast. Mm-hmm. Canadians are absolutely livid with the fact that their voice is not being heard, that we're having this agenda rammed down our throat. Canadians are waking up to it, and I think if he formed a third party right now in Canada, and his platform was a solid platform, and the guy is speaking from his heart, and he's legit, you would see unbelievable shift in power in Canada, because Canadians are at that point now, Ron. I see that, and I hear it every day now. If I bring up the name Justin Trudeau with anybody, it's where do we get a rope? So...
Well, that's just because he's in power right now. Well, you know, there's Bill C-474, which solidified the Sustainable Development Plan, mm-hmm. Which was voted on in 2008. And there was only one no vote. So the PCs, the Liberals, the NDP, and the Green, or the Independents, there was only one no vote out of the entire House, which signed us on and made it legit our commitment to sustainable development, which is the implementation of Agenda 21 and 2030. But the interesting part of that is like Kenny voted for it, but the interesting part of it was and Scheer voted for it, voted yes. Now, what, how do you pronounce his name? Bernier?
Bernier.
He didn't vote. Now, whether he was in the House or not, I don't know. And whether he is, I have to check it out. If he, I don't know how long he's been in government in that, but
12 years.
I have a funny, I'm going to go check it out to see if he's actually in the Privy Council. Because what I noticed in that vote was Harper didn't vote. Martin didn't vote. Dion didn't vote. There's a whole bunch of these people that didn't vote, but they're all in the Privy Council.
Right.
Right. So whether they weren't in the House or they just don't want to be attached to this, right, even though they implemented it, to say, hey, don't look at me. Right. But I have to go and check out and see if Bernier is in the Privy Council. Because if he's in the Privy Council, he's dirt. Right. He's garbage. So, you know, are we splitting the vote so the Liberals can continue on with what they're doing and exactly. The Conservatives can sit back and say, hey, you know, because, you know, if half the Conservatives go to Bernier and half the Conservatives stay with Scheer, then obviously the Liberals are going to win again.
I don't think you'll see a main part of the Conservative caucus lean towards Bernie. I think you're going to see an uprising of people in the country that will support.
Yes, but then you have to. Yeah, but even if he starts another party, we got an election in a year. He's going to have to rustle up candidates for everywhere. They're going to be on.
Boy, would that open the door to a whole bunch of Conservatives that would love to have their voice heard. Maybe something like this could actually happen in this
country. Well, again, it's not about Conservatives. It's about the people.
You know what I'm saying, Ron?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
enough good people, if his platform is one that's solid and it's one that we can relate to, and he's going to be legitimate about what he says, I think you might see a rally of a large amount of Canadians right now that feel we don't have any other way of having our voice.
A lot of people,
just my thoughts.
Yeah, I know, but in Alberta, you know, a lot of people who hate Notley with good reason, you know, jumped on Kenny's bandwagon.
Yeah.
And Kenny is a Bilderberger. Kenny voted yes to the bill C-474. So, you know, I just wrote, you know, like this guy is just a treasonous dog in a nice suit. You know, the problem with Canada, Barry, is that people don't read anything. They don't research anything. You know, people are presented to the people, but they have no idea. They might like to smile. They might like what they hear.
But they
have no clue who they're looking at, right? So, you know, I gotta go check out Maxime there and just see how clean he is. and if he's not clean, you know, I found it interesting that he didn't vote on that bill. I found that very, very interesting.
I found that interesting too.
He didn't vote no to it. So these people either weren't in the House or they just abstained. But there has to be a reason why, right? So
you got me chuckling. You got me chuckling, Ron, because when you made a statement about Canadians and the docile state of our society, it's something that, you know, that's a rabbit hole that you and me could go down for 2 hours. Why we have turned from a nation of strong minded, strong willed men that would stand up for what this nation was founded on, be it right or wrong. We are a nation that the rest of the world looks up to because of what we have. And I don't agree with the system that's in place, but Canadian men at one time had balls, excuse my language.
And the women. I mean, when our forefathers came here for one specific reason, that was the right of land, which they didn't have, and they understood the right, without the right of land, you're garbage. Generations die off and the weasels get back hold of the house. And, you know, they use deception, benefits, this, that, and the other thing to con people. And generation after generation, yeah, you're absolutely right. We've become so weak. It's difficult to look at. But, you know, I ran in the provincial election, not because I planned on winning, just to get a feel for the people, if they're coming along at all. And it was pretty sad. But I did run into some young people who get it. Who realize that all of this garbage is being fed in the schools, the inclusiveness, the diversity, the global warming is all a fraud, right? It's all a manufactured fraud, which really made me happy because 10 years ago, when I ran for something, the mindset was they were completely sucking up the propaganda. The propaganda has been going so long, so hard now, people are starting to question it. And I've always said, until you begin to question, if you don't question, you won't look for an answer, right? And people are beginning to question now and beginning to look for answers. And once you do that, then you are going to self-educate real quick. I had this a couple of guys, older gentlemen, you know, when I had to do some tough love, we did a thing in an all candidates meeting in a church, and I looked at the people in the church and they're so weak, it's pathetic. And I laid some serious tough love on them and they didn't like it, but that's not my problem. My job is to get at you, make you think. And, you know, after that, I was talking to a couple older gentlemen, and they said, you know, we remember you from fighting the windmills. And I said, yeah. And he said, but you really laid it on them up there. And he said, you're right. Those people are weak. And he said, so how are we going to do this? And I said, well, there's a simple solution. The weak always follow, right? You know, the weak, they're followers. They follow. So we just have to get a contingency of strong men and women, and eventually the weak will follow, right? Mm-hmm. We can't expect everyone to stand up and wake up. It ain't going to ever happen. But those who are strong, you know, the deal is that they get hammered on so hard that they sometimes just throw their hands up and go, this isn't worth it because these people ain't waking up. Don't worry about those people, right? We just keep building a strong contingency, and eventually the weak will follow. The sheep always follow something, right?
Exactly, exactly, Ron.
So we
hit the nail on the head.
So we're going to win this. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We just have to stay diligent. You know, I've been at this, I don't know, I've been at this every day for 12 years. It has absolutely totaled us financially. And it would have been very easy to quit, but you can't quit because then they win. If the strong throw up their hands and say, this isn't worth the trouble, we lose. And as I always say, you're in your 60s, I'm in my 60s. This is not about you and me, right?
This is about our children.
Bingo. Yeah,
exactly. That's why I'm here every day.
Right, exactly. So you know, we're getting there, actually. I'm running for mayor, and it's pretty funny because there's a poll outside. The ex-mayor has a tire shop about 8 miles out of town, and there's a utility pole there, which we're allowed to stick our signs on. So I put my sign up high. I'm about 6 foot five or six, and I got a long-handled S-wing. So I get my sign up pretty high, and we drive by there, and the sign's gone. So go in and have a chat, put the sign up, go by, the sign's gone. They've put it up the third time now. But he knows, you know, like they sicked the police on me trying to stop me from going to town hall, make me a threat. They sent the police here under false pretenses trying to get me jacked up. So they could say, holy crap, man. Wow. But I know the game, so we just had a nice, quiet conversation. The police agreed they were here under completely false pretenses. So the mayor, the ex-mayor, knows what I know, and I guess that's why my sign keeps coming down. But I got a better than 50% chance of winning this thing. And do I want to be the mayor? No. Do I want to hang out there for 4 years? No. But do I have a duty to do so? Yes.
Yes,
right?
You do.
Right. And I can't say it enough. All of the power, you know, all of the power is sitting at the local level because nobody lives at the federal level. Nobody lives at the provincial level. And so our job is to work with our local people. And eventually get enough of them to run to get a majority vote. You know, you got all these immigrants running in the councils now and in the provincial and the federal. But yet the Canadian people are so docile. They're watching this go on. Whoever's got control of the power base makes the rules. And they just sit back and be docile. And it's very difficult to watch. But I think the younger people are starting to get it. You know, there's some really bright young people out there who say, you know what, this is all a fraud. I tell you how bad it is. We did an all candidates meeting at a school, and it ripped the hell out of community living, which is just about bureaucrats getting their fingers into people. And I ripped a bunch of other stuff. And when I got down off the stage, there was two young guys in probably about 16, 17 years old in wheelchairs. And I wasn't sure how they were going to take us. So when I got down off the stage, you know, I said, you guys understand what I'm saying? And we ended up busting knuckles, right? They said, we get exactly what you said because they got their hooks in us, right? Mm-hmm. And I was talking to a girl and she talking about this mental illness bull crap. And they said, you know, she said they had me on drugs and it made me numb physically and mentally. I finally got off of them. I said, well, why'd they put you on drugs? She said, because I presented someone as my best friend. And that's a problem? Well, yeah, you can't do that. Why not? Well, because to have a best friend is not inclusive. To have a best friend is excluding others, and you can't do that. So they took her in. They took her in and tell her she's, you know, needs to change her mind thoughts and all this kind of stuff and put her on drugs. This is the kind of lunacy that's going on in this country.
I got to laugh from because I know this, and it makes me – I just bang my head against the wall, but go ahead. Finish your
but
statement.
That girl can't be had anymore. Those kids in that wheelchair, they get it. You know, I was talking to a farm meeting, and all old farmers in that, mostly people come to these things are old. And the three main candidates are yapping off about mental illness and all this stuff. And I asked the people in the audience, and I says, listen, let's get back in the day a bit when you were young. Do you recall suffering from mental illness? Do you remember all these people around you suffering from mental illness?
No.
And they started looking at each other and shaking their heads and went, no, we don't remember any of that stuff. Okay. So then I thought I was going to get in trouble because I kind of pointed to the main three candidates and I said, maybe they are suffering from mental illness, right? And I thought this is not going to go over well because the main three candidates were pissed. But the whole audience broke out in laughter, right? Laughing at these three main parties because they're all spewing the same thing. Every single one of them is spewing the same thing. They're all spewing sustainable development. They're all spewing mental illness. They're all spewing sustainable. It's just the same garbage. So I'm very interested in taking a little closer look at Maxine because I hope that this guy's straight up, you know. But when you look at the election in Calgary, it was the ex-president of the Conservative out there who ran. There was all kinds of vote count problems. There was all kinds of polls that didn't have. They ran out of ballots, right?
Yeah.
And then this guy who was really actually close to Nenshi, I think that was his name. He pulls out and calls out of the election before it's over. And the people that were supporting him, the conservatives, were so freaking angry, right? Like, what the hell are you doing? It ain't over. Because the spread wasn't that bad, right? So, you know, politics is a very, very dirty game. And we know that we have this global faction that really has their hooks into these politicians, and they can play it. So did Maxime bust away from the conservatives because he can't stomach what they're up to because they're up to the exact same thing the liberals are up to? Or is this just a split to allow the liberals to regain power again? I don't know.
I've been thinking about that for the last two or three days.
But I have to investigate it.
Well, I'll tell you something, Ron. About 3 months ago, and I don't normally reach out to politicians, but I listened to some of the things that Maxime Bernier was saying while he was in the caucus. And I reached out to his office, and I gave him my phone number. And the next day, Maxime Bernier called me up.
Oh,
and
really?
I had a good 20-minute conversation with Maxime, and I talked to him just like I would talk to you when we're talking about the worst things that we see going on in Canada. I completely unloaded on the gentleman. He did not hang up on me. He was listened to everything I said. And the last thing we said is that he would, you know, he made some comments and he agreed on a lot of things. Of course, there's a few things I said that might have sounded radical, but they're not. They're all tied together. Right. But anyways, I have a tentative agreement now with Maxine to do a show here. In about,
really?
Yeah, I've reached out to his media, and Maxine knows me and liked my conversation, and I've warned his media man that if Maxine generates or is good enough to grant me an hour of his time, the show is going to be right from the hip, and I'm waiting back right now. I believe it's going to be a week from this Thursday coming up. Is the tentative date right now, and I'm going to interview him for an hour, so I'm honored that he would even consider
it. Please send me a notice if it goes, because I want to listen in.
Ron, I'll
blast
it.
This sounds really interesting.
Well, I told this media guy, I said, look, you know, there is an unbelievable grassroots movement now growing in Canada. Canadians are really, really starting to pay attention to what's going on. And, you know, I'm just a little guy. I'm just a voice out here, but I'm 64 years old. And I really laid out to him that, you know what, I'll blast this out to every social media outlet that I have. I am tied into every group in Canada that's speaking against Trudeau. And they're all listening with great, great interest right now, exactly what Maxine's saying, because at this point in Canadian history, we cannot take another 4 years of liberal politics. People that are in the know.
Globalism, global politics.
Okay,
yeah.
Liberal, progressive, conservative. You know what I'm saying? Okay,
right.
I think this what they're trying to do right now is actually split the party. Now, whether this is all an agenda being played out on the people is something I really am going to look at real hard, because I want to believe this guy is 100%. Correct. And true.
Where's he live?
He's in BC. No, he's from Quebec. He's been in the caucus for 12 years. He is, if you look at his history and you look at what
he's definitely probably in the Privy Council. He's been in caucus for 12 years.
I'm listening to what the man's saying, though. I'm really listening to him. I'm watching his body language.
I know, but we have, what's that guy's name that's running around now? He's 92 now, running around, you know, exposing stuff. What the hell is his name? What the heck? I forgot his name now. But, you know, he was the deputy defense minister way back when. Paul Hellyer.
Paul Hellyer.
Okay. Now, Paul Hellyer's a player, right? There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He's a total player, and he's the oldest surviving. He's still in the Privy Council. And these guys do what they're told, right? So I have to go and check this stuff out. I mean, they take an oath of secrecy for life, not to the people, to the corporation, to the Queen, which is a corporate entity. The Queen is not Elizabeth. The Queen is a corporate freaking entity. And they take an oath to serve that corporate entity for life, and it's never to divulge any secrets. So Paul Hellyer is so full of crap it hurts, but he's doing his job. He's 92 years old. He's still doing his job. If you look at where these ex-politicians are, it will freak you out. If you follow these people to see what they're – you know, people think once they're voted out, they don't exist anymore. They're still working.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. They're all to part push of the agendas.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I'm crossing my fingers that Maxime is not in the Privy Council. Because when I see the list of the people who, if you want to go look that up, I mean, it's on my Facebook about five posts down or six posts down. And it has all the links. And this was put through, the bill C-474 was put through as a private member's bill, which never go anywhere. Yet only one no vote. And I have a friend that's been trying to get a hold of this Tross guy out of Saskatchewan, I believe it is, for years to find out why it is he's the only one that voted no. But I have to check out some of these people who didn't vote. Because when I see how many of them that I know are in the Privy Council, it raises a lot of questions. But it has all the links to – I put all the links in that was given to me by another researcher here in Ontario who's brilliant. And this whole thing was – it's a UN agenda. It was done up – the guy that brought the private members bill thanked David Suzuki for all the work he did on it, which is just a redo of the UN agenda that was placed in front of Suzuki, because he's their player, to formulate this. Although when you hit the Suzuki link, all you get is a picture of David Suzuki, because they've been taking down some of the documents that Suzuki was paid for to shove into different provinces and in the federal government and all that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, just if you go down, I don't know, maybe probably five or six posts, you'll run into it. It's there's a lot of information in there that everyone should read, and that's on Rock the Boat Radio Facebook. Take a look at it.
Well, I'm going to have to see if his name is on there, and I got a question in the chat for you. Question for the speaker. Is Trump a political Zionist? And if he is, what does that mean for brand Trump Incorporated? That's a question from one of my listeners right now.
Trump's a player.
Of course he is. I know.
Cool. You know, I mean, so, you know, like I say, the only decent thing that Trump did, okay, was to say to the American people, it's time to make America great again. This isn't Trump going to do that. This is a call to the people. The politicians are not going to make Canada great or America great. This is a call to the people. But, you know, if you want to make America great, Mr. Trump, then why is the United Nations building sitting on American soil? Why is the Trilateral Commission sitting? Why is the Council on Foreign Relations sitting on American soil? Why have these things not been thrown in the fire? Okay? Because you're a player. If you want to make America great, and those three entities are on American soil, then America ain't ever going to get great. If you're not going to take and change out from United States, which is a corporation, and go back to the American Constitution, which is completely different animal, then you're a player, right? You know, I mean, you know, so yeah, I mean, they're just playing the roles and keeping the people confused, right? So it's right, left, right, left, right, left. Well, doesn't that sound like in the army?
Yeah, and you think you got
aren't those two boots on the same body, and it's a tyrannical body marching us to a place we don't want to arrive at.
But we don't.
So we got to put the brakes on it. And, you know, this is the most interesting time to live, and so many people are missing out on it. It's sad, you know.
Well, here, I got a statement from our producer. He says, tell Ron, U.S., people, no, everybody, don't ever say that about yourself, Ron, because I enjoy our conversations immensely, and I'm sure the people listening right now are enjoying this conversation. I think they are anyways. We're getting some good feedback in chat here, but okay. He says, tell Ron, here in the U.S., people who are deemed mentally ill will not be able to buy a firearm, they won't be able to travel, they won't be able to get a driver's license, and they won't be able to work. They basically won't be allowed to survive, basically.
Exactly. What do you think of that? I had a guy on my show, 10 years ago. We were doing a show, and a guy called in from Switzerland. And we were talking about this mental health problem thing. And he says, you know, beware of that, because in Switzerland, if you are labeled a dissident, they don't charge you with anything. They don't charge you with a hate crime or anything. They just pick you off the street and throw you in a mental hospital. That way you never get to court. And we got to be very wary of that, right? Because once you're deemed mentally ill, and this is one of the reasons I run in elections, is kind of a safety thing for me, right? Just, you know, they can't, you know, I'm trying to just keep myself out there enough that, you know, if you come at me, well, we got some safety valves. But it's the mental illness thing. Yeah. It's a very, very, very dangerous program that they put up. They can label anybody mentally ill at any time for any reason.
Of course, they got a little book now with hundreds and hundreds of different illnesses now they've labeled the human race with. And along came pharmakia, along came pharmacy, along came big pharmy, and the rest of the story we should all know by now. I mean, it's basically, they can, if you think the wrong way in society now, you can be labeled as, if you don't follow the main line of propaganda, you can be labeled mentally ill. And along it comes along the psychotropics. How many millions of people in the United States right now are on psychotropics? I think the number's mind-boggling. I think I had a discussion with Roger about this the other day, and I believe the actual number is 33 million Americans are right now on psychotropics.
Well, I talked to a pharmacist in my town, which is 7,500 people, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4 drug outlets. And I was just asking her, you know, I says, like, what percentage of people, because I don't take anything, I mean, what percentage of people are on pharmaceuticals in this town? And she said, guess. I started at like 60% and thought I was over the top. And she just kept saying, nope, nope, nope. I got to 90%. And I said, you're just pulling my leg, right? And she goes, no, that would be a proper number. About 90% of the people in this community are eating pharmaceuticals of one sort or another. Which is just basically a government drug cartel. Now, Mexico, I think we have an awful lot to learn from Mexico. Watched a video 11 years ago of a town in Mexico where the corruption between the police, the politicians, and the drug cartel that was in there, and the murders and the rapes and all this kind of nonsense that was going on. A group of people started investigating, you know, the ties to the corruption, and those people all disappeared. So this is the son of the gentleman, one of the leaders that disappeared. And after that happened, the people in that town, which is about 20,000 people, just said enough is enough. And they ran the politicians out. They ran the police out. They ran the cartel out. They became the police force. They became the politicians. You don't get in or out of that town unless you're checked, and so on and so forth. And now that they've done that, a lot more municipalities in Mexico are doing the same thing.
But this is
the same message that I've been trying to get to the Canadian people. We don't need the guns, okay? You know, I'm so proud of these Mexican people for standing up for themselves and saying enough is enough. But the point is that they've taken control of their towns. Now, we have to take control of our towns, our municipalities. We can do it without the guns. All we got to do is get you people, and this is for Americans as well. You got to get control of the majority vote in your local council. Now, most councils, except for big cities, most councils are between 5 and 9 at the max. So you only need, five votes in a council of 9 to have majority vote on every issue that comes to the table. Now, the city managers and the CAOs are trained specifically on implementing the agendas. Most of the council don't know what's going on. Okay, they vote, but it's the non-elected that set the agenda. Now, once you know what the agendas are and you have majority vote in your local council, you can vote it down every single time. Now, the problem is the state and the province, because the municipalities are children or creations of the state. The state has the state. You do as the state says in the municipal level, or right. They have the power to pull you out and replace you. And it's happened up here, just north of me, during the amalgamation period in the early 2000s, one municipality stood up and said, we're not amalgamating. And they just came in with the hook and pulled the whole council out and replaced them. So
people got to realize they work for us. We don't work for them.
Well, this is the problem. It's backwards.
We got to get rid of that stigma in society. Same thing with government.
But one municipality, you can't, you know, they can pull you. But the idea is that the power is in the people, and the people live at the local level. So as we gain majority vote in council after council after council, once you've got 20 or 30 councils that you have the majority vote in, that, and that your population, like the Mexicans, are very understanding of what the hell the game is, then you can stand up and say no. They'll come after one council, but they ain't coming after 30, right? So we have to grow our power. We don't need the guns like the Mexicans did, but, I mean, it's much rougher down there. Here, we don't need the guns. I'm a firm believer we can take this land back without ever a shot being fired from our side. But we have to do it. You know, this idea of protesting in the streets and filling out petitions and all that kind of crap is just all that relates to is throwing pebbles at the castle wall. You're not going to accomplish anything. You got to get inside the castle, right?
Exactly.
And you got to root out the corruption. They did it with guns in Mexico. We can do it with a simple vote here. And how hard is it to go get, you know, it's very hard to get 5 or 6 good people to stand up to go run in a municipal election. It's very difficult, you know, but it's where the power is. And, you know, here where I'm at, it cost me $200 to run for mayor. I mean, come on, you know, suck it up, folks, pick it up, step up to the plate. Because that's the answer to getting the corruption out.
Change is going to start at home, and
it has to start at home
because you know if you think the government's going to make any changes without the pressure coming from below, then you got your head in the sand. And this is really, really something that we should all kind of focus on. That, you know, cleaning up our own backyard first will result in the rest of the backyards getting cleaned up.
Our house has been infiltrated, and we're not in control of our house. And if you're not in control of your house, you have no control. So if somebody moved into your house and told you you're going to do this, that, this, and you say, no, I disagree with that. Tough luck. I'm in charge of your house. You wouldn't put up with it. You'd kick them the hell out. This is my house, and it is our house, right? And this is what our forefathers understood. When they came here, they were building the new house, and their intent was to keep the corruption out of the house. But slowly it infiltrated again, and now it's everywhere.
Well, I guess the question of the day will be, Ron, are Canadians going to have enough intestinal fortitude for enough of us to actually stand up?
Well, when you think, how many people live in terrace?
About 14,000, 15,000.
14,000, and you probably got a council of 7. So you need 4 people. Now, the thing is that if you, I have a mathematical thing, which I used to use in marketing, it works out basically to this. If you run 3 people for each seat and you got 7 seats, that means you're running 21 candidates pushing the same message, which is different than the globalist message that the other candidates are pushing. Now what you've done is you've overpowered their message. You know, if one guy goes out and runs with the correct message and the other, everybody else is doing the sustainable development question, his odds on winning are pretty slim.
Exactly.
Because they look at him as a nutcase or conspiracy theorist or whatever, right? But when you run three people, so you need 21 people in Terrace to guarantee you, absolutely guarantee you those four votes. Now you're in control. You've got control. You're not going to the council. You know, when you went to the council, Nat, about fluoride, you know, you're going to the council and say, well, we really like to get the fluoride out of the water and yada, yada, yada. Once you have control of that council, goodbye fluoride. It's that simple. You got the power, right? You don't want to go cap in hand to these clowns because they're not going to help you out. You want to get the power. On a lighter note, I was thinking about this when we were out shopping, because you're in BC and David Suzuki is Mr. Environment in Canada, and he must be freaking out about these forest fires, although I haven't seen anything in the news about David Suzuki and the forest fires. So I had this vision in my head of a helicopter with a basket or a harness with David Suzuki in it, with a tube back up to the helicopter in a water container of David sucking the water and then flying around and peeing on the forest fires. I don't know if that's happened or not, but
we have heard nothing from David Suzuki.
No, or not likely, because he's a globalist and he knows why these fires are burning.
Well, you just look at the people that are funding David Suzuki.
I know.
It doesn't take long to figure it out, Ron, but most people don't take time to do that, unfortunately.
I know.
That's one of the monumental problems in our society, man. People just take time.
Our job as the people who question and go look for answers, our job is to just keep doing what we're doing. I mean, we're working on a news site. I'm working with a lady out of Calgary who's only in her 30s, and I'm so happy to know her. She ran for the Board of Education in the last Calgary election, and she wasn't being radical at all. She was just saying what needed to be said. CBC went at her. I mean, she's a nobody. CBC went at her hard. Facebook took off her Facebook account, and she wasn't doing anything except what we all need to do, and that's stand up, put your name down and run, right? Because eventually we will overpower, you know, numbers do a lot, right? And if we just remain fearful and docile, we lose, right? So
well,
we're building a
consent,
new site now. We're building a new site called Reset, and we've got it. We've got all the paperwork and everything done for it, and it's all registered and everything. But we're just putting it together now. And we're going to call it Reset in Motion Media Group, and that's what we needed. We need a reset. If you go to etymology and understand what reset is, that's exactly what we have to do. We have to reset this nation. We have to reset the minds of the people in this nation, and we want to put a lot of forums in there so that people. We don't want this ref. We're going to try and keep the right left out of it completely. You know, forums on food, forums on education, forums on health, where people can go in and discuss what's wrong with their health, you know, what their experiences with the health, their experiences with their GMO foods, and build a library there of the proper documents so that people will, you know, move from one thing to another thing and meet other people. And almost like a self-education situation, right? But at the same time, keeping the politics the hell out of it, right? Because as soon as you get into the politics, you slide into the swamp.
Exactly.
You know,
I'd love to get involved in that, Ron. Because
we're looking at buying a thing from Mixler, which we can buy pretty reasonable for a year. You know, so we can run 24/7.
Right.
As a radio station, and then it's going out to live stream as well and everywhere else. So we're working on this, and we do want a lot of good people such as yourself, knowledgeable people, who can stay away from the right-left nonsense. And I'm absolutely certain once we get this up and running, we can draw an awful lot of really good people in here, and we'll draw an awful lot of other people in that are starting to question and that. And we're going to build a really strong group of people, and then we can stand and say no. Right. And well, people don't understand how strong that word is. You know, there's no stronger word out there than no. You know,
I do not consent.
Yeah.
Say that to yourself 10 times today.
No, you know.
Yeah.
But see, the other part of it is silence is consent. And they purposely write everything down that they're doing. We don't read it. Okay. We remain silent. We've consented, right? So this is the important part. I want to build a really big library so that anything that is of value that they've written that is negative to us, that you can read it, right? Because if you don't read anything, you don't know about it, you remain silent, you've consented.
Exactly. Well, I think at this particular time, another solid platform rising up in Canada would have tremendous support, because people now are really looking for avenues to, for one, come together with other strong conservative people. And, of course, the more conservative people that get involved in the platform, like you said, stronger the
platform. How about the more moral people?
Moral people. I'm using that as a word, because conservatism isn't a bad word. Ron, it's not a bad
word. It slides you into that political context.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. We'll use another word.
You know, it's just time we get up on our moral high horse and learn to say no. No, I understand the conservatism and the liberalism, but that was all set up just to destroy us. What is a conservative? Well, I mean, there's everybody's confused. There's very good conservative people who are confused. There's very good, honest, liberal people who are completely confused. We're looking for the people with a good, strong spirit, mind, and spine. I don't care where you're coming from.
The better word for me to use would have been people with moral fiber. Okay,
that's it.
Ron, being a person that have conservative values, strong family values, strong unity ties in the family, the community works together, that we're working together as a community. We're not a divided community like we see now. That's kind of like. So we have monumental tasks in front of us, Ron, because of multiculturalism in Canada, the amount of different groups we have in Canada right now. We kind of are a hoshwash of people, and there's going to be a challenge in us in bringing people together on one issue because of the diversity in our society. That's something we can talk about another day.
What you said, Barry, is we have to concentrate on our individual communities because that's where we live. Right?
Right.
And that's where we have our power. You know, I have a lot of people saying, we got to knock the head off the snake. Well, good luck with that. You know, we're going to nibble from the tail, and eventually the head will just fall on the ground.
Well, listen, you know what, Ron? Believe it or not, this hour went back too fast.
I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this, Barry.
Well, Ron, listen, buddy. Like I said, we could go another hour right now because we haven't even touched on some of the things I wanted to discuss with you today to really bring to people's attention.
Well, we do it again.
We'll do it again in the very near future.
Anyways, can you do me a favor?
Sure.
You got a camera, right, or a video camera?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you see David Suzuki hanging on a strap, peeing on the fires, please get a picture of it. We'd want to see that.
It'll go viral, guaranteed. Anyways, Ron, plug your
show.
Thank
you, Barry.
Okay, listen, before you leave, we got 2 minutes. We got a minute. Plug your show before you go where people can find you, okay?
Well, right now I'm doing a show. I was doing 4 a week, but I'm down to 1 a week. We lost the station. And again, what Barry said at the beginning, these stations are listener supported. It's very important that these stay on the air. We're up against, unlimited funds from the other side. So, if you heard anything that makes sense to you, please hit a donate button. Me, I'm over on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. I do a show Saturday Eastern time, or not Saturday, Sunday, from noon till 2 o'clock. So thank you, Barry.
You're welcome, Ryan. Anytime we get a chance to talk, it's always a pleasure. Well, thanks, guys, for tuning in for the first hour. Hang around for the second hour. Me and Patty, or Walking Turtle, are going to get into a discussion about some of the geological and weather anomalies and some of the activities going on the Earth that I think we should bring to people's attention if they're not already aware of it. Thanks again for joining me, Ron. Been a pleasure, buddy, and we'll do this again very quickly. Hang in, guys. I'll be back in 3 or 4 minutes. Well, welcome back to the second hour, guys, and I want to say thanks again to Ron Stevens for joining me today. I always enjoy conversations with that man. Good level of intellect and really get a good feel for what's going on in our country right now, and we need a lot more people like him in there, but I see more people coming up all the time. But you know what? I've been on the radio now for about 5 years. I've been fooling around with online radio, and one of the people I met, I think was in the first year that I got online, was Patty Walking Turtle. And over the course of the years, me and Patty have had numerous conversations, too many to mention. And I've looked forward to this conversation for a while because I was away doing mushrooms and she's been off doing other stuff and her internet connection isn't the greatest, so I pegged her down today and I'm looking forward to this conversation. Patty is one of the people in this world I really enjoy sharing our thoughts with, and we got lots of things to talk about today. Patty, welcome to the show and thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you, Barry, and those were beautiful words. Thank you. And I feel the same. You know, we have been around the block a long time, haven't we?
Well, it's, you know, in the world today, Patty, it's hard to find a lot of people that you really connect with that really kind of understand. Even though we don't share opinions on certain things, we share opinions on a lot. And we've really kind of, over the years, have had conversations where you can start a conversation or start a sentence and I'll be able to finish it. So it's kind of cool when you find people like that in the world. And like I said, I'm looking forward to this conversation. I did want to talk about some of the geological events. I think that's something that we should really kind of reiterate on people and hammer home exactly what we see going on in the world today as far as the rise in earthquake activity, which is just right now, is it's right off the scales. And anybody that isn't paying attention to this, I urge you to. We can talk about that. We can talk a little bit about some of the volcanic activity and that hurricane that just hit Hawaii, man. I was taking a look at some of the videos there. We're seeing these anomalies and we're seeing this stuff happen on an accelerated rate right now. What do you think, Patty?
Well, yeah, it is, and the volcanism also. We have new islands appearing off of, what is it, North Carolina, South Carolina coast, I think it is. The Cascadia Fault, we were talking about that earlier. This is one of the biggest faults that can cause some of the biggest problems along the West Coast, and everybody's always talked about the San Andreas Fault, but the Cascadia has been waking up, and so that's something to be concerned about. The Ring of Fire, you know, we've just recently had some very powerful deep earthquakes in Alaska, and now we have the fires going on, and we have cracks in Arizona, mile-long cracks in the earth. Things are changing. The face of the earth is changing, and there are many reasons for this and many suppositions. You know, everybody has a theory on what is causing it. Is it man-made? I believe partially, you know. Is it geologically cyclical? Yes, I believe that. Does it have to do with solar? Yes. So maybe all of these things are combining together to create the perfect storm. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, you know, Patty, if I look at the whole picture right now of what's happening on the planet, the rise in earthquake activity, the fact that we are seeing the poles in a process of possibly slipping in the future, you combine that with what we're seeing from the sun right now. We right now, I believe, we're in a very, very dangerous time. One of the people I do follow a lot and I listen to a lot, and the reason I follow Dutch Sense is because of his track record. The fact that he's running, if you look at all his statements, everything that he has said over the last 5 years and put them on a computer, he'll come up at about 78% accuracy on what he says, where he calls for earthquakes to strike, how he breaks down the plate movement, how he breaks down the mantles, how they're affecting each other right now. And this gentleman right now, if you listen to him, you can hear a sense of urgency in his voice. The real deep one we had in Fiji, I believe it was 3 days ago now, is one that we should all really be paying attention to, because when you get a deep earthquake, and this has been proven time after time and time after again. I'm only reiterating his words, but his science and his research I respect. And he tells us, man, when you get an earthquake that deep, apparently that the USGS downgraded it to an 8.2, but two other sites that monitored this, the quake put it at close to 9 for magnitude. And you get one that's 500 feet or 500 miles into the core of the Earth. When it comes to the surface, it's going to create big earthquakes. And this has been proven time after time after time. So we're looking at the possibility of seeing catastrophic earthquakes here in the next 72 hours, maybe 96 hours. You can't put an exact time on it, but the science of how this pressure moves and the background of how these deep quakes affect the surface, and like I said, you have many, many references in the past to go by. We can expect some very, very large activity. We had another deep one right in the center of South America 2 days ago that was 7.2 in magnitude. And now we're seeing fives and six popping off all over the place. The coast of Oregon just had their biggest earthquake in a long, long time, and that was right at the bottom of the Cascadia subduction zone. And we talked about that one, and I don't know if a lot of the listeners understand the potential of the Cascadia, but it is something that I've spent a lot of my time looking into and listening to experts talk about, and the potential of that one fault line, if it was to slip in the nature that it's has the potential to do, and the fault line fractures from one end of the fault to the other, which is 600 miles. You'll basically see minimum a 50-foot tsunami, possibly as high as 100, maybe as high as 100 foot in areas, hit the coast of the west coast of North America.
In yeah, some it's place, like the sleeping some, giant.
It's a sleeping giant. The potential is unbelievable. And, you know, I looked at the history. I've been studying the history of it. I've watched as much information on the Cascadia I can because it's really close to home. I'm on the West Coast here. I'm only 40 miles away from the Pacific Ocean. And I study it because it's close to home, but it would affect everybody on this planet because you're looking at the potential of complete breakdown of all shipping, all commerce. Any city that is under 50 feet on the coast of the West Coast of North America, and that's just a boggling thought. If it fractures in one spot, folks, it will fracture. It has the potential to fracture the length of the fault line, creating the minimum. Now, scientists and people that are studying this, Patty, are telling us minimum 9 in magnitude, maybe bigger, because that fault line now is, I think it's 78 years overdue. And they have timed it over the last 10,000 years. It has gone off almost religiously every 200 to 210 years. Now it's been 288 years, I believe it is, or 298 years since they've seen major movement on the Cascadia subduction zone. Of course, the longer it goes, the more pressure builds up, the bigger the earthquake is going to be when it does happen. So that is the sleeping giant. It makes the San Andreas look like a walk in the park, the potential of that fault line. And now we're seeing this increase in earthquake activity all over the planet. Well, the planet's shaking. It's shaking right at the core. And I'm not a doomsayer, Patty, you know that, but I'm watching this. I've been studying. I just want people to be aware that this could be, not saying it's going to be, but it could be a very, very dangerous time coming up for the next couple of weeks.
I think also, though, that Barry, there is reason for concern. We have the solar minimum coming, has been coming. Everything is acting in unison. This is a cyclical event, many events coming together at the same time. We have our solar cyclical event. We have our geological cyclical event. But this isn't just here. You know, we have the planets also that are also experiencing these geological changes, these massive changes. They just put a bulletin out today that there will be record snowfall in Yellowstone, and that's coming up this weekend, I think. And they're saying visibility may be down to like half miles, things like this. These weather events are all part of this solar minimum. And then, you know, you hear people talking about, well, what does that really mean? Well, there's pressure being put against the Earth from the radiation, the photons, all of these things that are being shoved towards Earth, the solar wind that is hitting the Earth that isn't being abated because our shields aren't as strong as they should be because we need solar activity to be able to charge these shields, right? So they're not doing very well. So more of this solar energy is getting in, which is also causing a heat up, which is also causing a buildup of electricity, let's say, energy within the Earth. And I think that what we're experiencing right now has a lot to do with that. And if you listen to Dutch Sense, when he predicts these earthquakes, it's during these times of this the solar mass that the coronal holds that face Earth during these times. And they've been getting stronger and bigger and stronger and bigger, while the CME activity has been getting lesser and lesser and less. So all of these things are working in unison. The fish die that you sent me a video off of Florida with the massive fish kills. Some are postulating that this could be done because of the underwater volcanoes that are suddenly waking up. And the volcanism is directly attached to the geological earthquakes and movements that we're having. So it's all connected. Yeah, there is reason for concern.
Yeah, and you know what? Sometimes, we don't like to get into these subjects, but to me, it's just sharing information that we both are looking at right now. And if somebody out there isn't aware of this and it's pertinent to them, especially people in coastal areas right now, I'm just going to reiterate what Dutch is saying, that at this particular time, the coastal areas could be subjected to major tidal and major earthquake activity. So whether people take any of this information to heart, or if they just shrug it off, if they say, hey, well, there's nothing we can do about it, well, I believe you're making a true statement there. There isn't anything we can do about it. But I think awareness is a good thing, Patty. I think a lot of people aren't quite aware of the potential of some of the things that could unfold in the next few days. And I just like people to be aware of this, because we are in basically right now uncharted water. And
And you haven't even talked about the fires really yet. And all of the other things that are happening, and not all are attributable to geologic changes or solar changes. Some of these are man-made. I do believe.
Yeah, I believe so too. I mean, the fires, we got talking about it for a few minutes there in the first hour, but boy, I'll tell you, fires right now are acting in ways that we've never seen fires act before. We're seeing all kinds of controversy around these fires. So to say that something isn't up, I think you'd have to have your head in the sand that we are definitely seeing a change, and there's lots of things that we could talk about that are affecting that. Of course, we talked about chemtrails in the first hour, and anybody that believes that chemicals being sprayed in the sky aren't going to end up on the earth, I think they're doing themselves an injustice, and that the fact that these chemicals are accelerant seems to play into what we're seeing going on with fires right now. But, that's one subject we could talk about. We could talk about the rise in, we talked about this earlier, is the rise in volcanic activity, and I urge people to go look at that. I mean, there is nothing we can do about this, Patty. We've seen these events starting to develop here in the last couple of years. We've seen some real changes happening to the planet. And you know what? The planet's gone through, in the geological history of the planet, the planet's gone through catastrophic land changes and catastrophic shifts in mountains. It's a fact that, it's experienced unbelievable events in the past. Who's to say we're not getting into one of those times right now? A lot of scientists will talk about the fact that we're getting into a major earthquake swarm. And that makes a lot of sense to me, because, like I said, when we get these earthquakes going off, especially these deep ones, they really have effect on fault lines that are on the verge of snapping or close to going, and we know there's quite a few of them around the planet right now that are supposed to move but haven't moved yet. It might just take a little flick for them to go. And then, of course, that's shake the earth even more. So it's kind of interesting. Yeah. I'm not going to say this is happening, but it sure seems like there's a major buildup right now in activity, and it's not slowing down.
Well, when we look at nature, we see that nature, it works together, and that all things are connected. And we know that these different things that we're experiencing, the earthquakes, the volcanism, the changes in climate, all of these different things that we're experiencing, they are related. And, that's, I think, what the problem is science is so fractured and segregated that each one says this is the reason and that's the reason and this is the reason. but they're all symptoms of a one main issue that is happening. And I think that's where the disconnect is people aren't putting this all together and saying, wait a minute. Now, we live on a dynamic planet that is living, that is growing, that has cycles just like we do in life. So maybe this cycle is part of a bigger cycle that is a solar cycle, that is a system cycle, that is a galaxy cycle. However you want to go, we have to realize that all of it's connected and it's playing its part. And this is a time of great upheaval. And you can go to prophecy if you want. You can go to science if you want. But they're all going to jive in the end, and they're going to say that this is where we're at, folks. All of these things are happening, and they're going to happen. But the good news is, the way I look at it, is that you're here, and I'm here, and this has happened before. So if we're here, then somebody made it through, so it can't be totally terrible, you know? If we're prepared, if we know what to do and how to get through this, you know, don't buy in on the fear, because it's going to happen whether you fear or not. So you might as well be prepared, you know, just saying. Yeah,
you know, and knowledge always alleviates fear. And if you're fully aware of potential things that are going to happen, then you will prepare yourself accordingly. We can make that same statement about a lot of things going on in society right now, how society is complacent. Well, you know, you don't want to put fear into people's hearts, but I think if society, the general society, knew about certain issues that are going on in the world, you'd see the same kind of result. Sometimes it takes a little kick in the butt to get people moving, but right now, it does. And sometimes that has to be a real hard kick. Sometimes
and
people
fear is lack of knowledge, you know.
That's all it is. So the more knowledge you get about what's going on in our planet and how we're being manipulated, the whole spectrum of what's going on, that fear will go away. I mean, if I was in fear, I'd be in fear right now because I'm speaking against my government, and I know there's a chance they're going to come and put the hammer down on me.
I'm not in fear of that.
If I was in fear, I wouldn't be here right now, Patty. I wouldn't be speaking against my government. I'd go cower in a little hole and say, hey, go to work, shut up, drink your beer, watch the hockey game. Everything's fine. Don't look over here. You know?
If you want to be free, you can't run and hide.
Well, freedom has a price. It really does.
And you can be scared of the boogeyman under the bed, because you can't do anything about that boogeyman until you get old enough to realize that you're scarier than that boogeyman. But we do have issues that we can tackle. We can look at these issues and say, wait a minute, where am I at in this situation? And what is most likely going to affect my life in where I'm at and with what I have? And what changes do I need to make? You know, that's the power that we have.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, you know, like I said earlier, I think it's going to take people something that really impacts their life directly. Unfortunately, a lot of people are still in the matrix, and they know there's corruption going on, you know, there's bad stuff going on, but they still have a job and they still think everything's fine. They can go to work, and a lot of people don't want to look at it, Patty. But I was talking to you earlier today, and I think I brought up the issue of the salmon. Correct?
Yes.
I'm going to talk about that just for a minute, because all of a sudden we've had a couple events happen here in the last week, and one of them was yesterday at a place called China Bar, which is halfway between Prince Rupert and Terrace. You can Google it if you want on your Google Earth. It's a place called China Bar. And I think if you Google that on Google Earth, it'll bring you right to China Bar because it's such a well-known place. But the fishermen on China Bar yesterday were catching salmon, and this is not bullcrap, guys. This is right from direct sources, and I'm going to try and get one of these or two of these people in next week. I'm going to get them to call into the show, and you can hear it right from their mouth that they were seeing abnormalities and growth on the salmon that they've never, ever seen before. I'm hearing this now from one of the gentlemen up in New Ianch who is working on the Nass River. I was talking to him 2 days ago in a conversation, and I'm hearing it now from fishermen that wait a second, hold on, what is going on here? Well, you know, Patty, 8 years ago, 7 years ago when Fukushima happened, I had a really good conversation with Roger Landry about this today. You know, the Pacific Ocean, and I don't want to get off subject here, but it's something that I'm really, really watching closely right now, is that the Pacific Ocean is dying, and Fukushima is killing this ocean. And if people really don't have time to go look at this, Patty, I don't think we're past the point of no return, but it's something I think that people should really start paying attention to. And what these reports, all these people that were fishing on China Bar yesterday, well, this is a small community up here, and they're all out there right now talking to their friends and neighbors. And this was going to get out there big time that they were letting salmon go because of the growth that they didn't see. But one guy was smart enough to keep one of them, and it is going to go to the University of Northern British Columbia tomorrow, and we're going to have it dissected and analyzed. So, but what's it going to take before society wakes up to the fact that we're not paying attention to the most important things in our lives, and that's the planet. And now this has come out, and I think it's going to hit home with a lot of people.
Well, Barry, how much have you heard about Fukushima on the mainstream media?
Oh, every day. Oh, yeah, right, Patty.
Yeah. So it's no wonder that a lot of people don't even know what Fukushima is at this point. So you're right. We do have a greater responsibility to let the people know what's going on. And even if you don't have a radio show, even if you don't have a lot of social media sites where you can put this information out there, you can do things in your own community. You can print up a little flyer that has website information where people can go and find out the truth about these things. Do you know what Fukushima is? Do you know what it's doing? Give a link, and the different aspects of the issues that we face today. And put that somewhere in a laundromat or a bulletin board somewhere at your church. You know, people are not aware, not because they really choose to be ignorant. It's because they don't even know that there's a possibility, because a lot of them have never had reason to question the media. They think that the world is working just the way it's supposed to, which it is. It's just not working for us. These systems have never been built for us. People just think they have. So the more that we can educate, the more knowledge that is passed to the people who aren't hearing these broadcasts, who aren't on the social media, the more impact we do have. Because when people realize that the reason why they can't get certain foods anymore is because they've been irradiated to the point of where there's not enough to sell to people, when people realize that the cough that they have might be caused from these chemtrails that are in the air, when people realize that these forest fires might be caused from something else, and that's why they're losing their homes, and there's an agenda called Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030, this gives them the ability to say, okay, I want to find out. Okay, I want to know, Whereas watching the mainstream media, people don't even have a clue.
Well, you'll never get the truth out of mainstream media, and we know that, Patty, but unfortunately a lot of people still go to the mainstream for their information until we can get them out of that stigma. And we're seeing a change now. We're seeing people start to realize that stuff coming out of mainstream isn't real news, and of course we're seeing that in the States, and we're seeing it in Canada. People are fed right up with the CBC, and it's biased. So people are looking to alternatives for information, and any opinions that we can put out, sure, some people aren't going to agree with what we say, some people will, but it's an opinion, and it needs to be heard.
Well, go get the documentation, because it is,
it is
on the web. Put that stuff out there.
We do talk about stuff that we know is true, Patty.
Right.
A lot of people.
That's what you give to them, when they question, we say, well, here, look at this.
Well, to me, it's kind of a focus, because I really kind of look. I have grandchildren and I have children, and I know what this earth has given me in my 64 years on this planet. It's been a good experience. All in all, it's been a good experience. And I look into the future and I look at the die-offs we're seeing. I look at everything that's happening to the planet, and I say to myself, how much more can the planet take? How much longer before we see a collapse? And then people will scream at the top of their lungs for the government to do something about it. Or we got to do something about it. Well, at that point, it might be too late. I'm not a doomsdayer. I honestly believe that if the human race could just use a little bit of their brain and a little bit of common sense and come to the understanding that we can't poop in our backyard and not expect our backyard to smell like poop, we'd see the changes. And we have all the tools in our hands right now to make those changes.
Well, either we're going to make the reset or Mother Nature is going to make the reset. It's the way it's going to be done. Yeah.
It's going to be done. But there again, that's something I think about a lot. You know, I think about, you know, we have seen lots of mass extinction events on the planet. That's a fact. You can't deny that. But the planet's always lived through it, Patty. But now we have this thing called nuclear power, and it's all over our planet. And I always ask myself, I kind of ask myself this question a lot, is that if we started unleashing, you know, the potential of 20 or 30 or 40 of these nuclear power plants around the globe in light of what we see Fukushima doing to the Pacific Ocean, is life going to survive on the planet? Maybe in 100,000 years it might come back, maybe 50,000, but I think it'd be a long time before
but
life.
But Barry, do you know how many nuclear power plants have leaked across the globe? Do you know how
all
many have gone critical across the globe?
Yeah. I know how many scraps,
and the thing of it is,
they have every day. I watch it.
Nature will change. You know, we may see mass extinction, but we'll be the one to go along with it. And when life comes back, it will come back as Mother Nature deems it. You know, she is really exceptional about correcting the wrongs, and a lot of what we're experiencing right now is part of this. That's why we have these cyclical events. To keep things in check. And we are out of check. The people are out of check. We are the ones who have stepped out of the circle. We are the ones that broke the chain. And Mother Nature's letting us know, because every injury that's done to this earth is being done to the people. We are suffering because of what we have created. So Mother Nature's teaching us a lesson. Either we can learn this lesson and we can make the change necessary, or we will just write ourselves out of the picture and Mother Nature will keep on going. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I agree, Patty. It's just that in the history of the planet, however long life has been on this planet, I don't believe Mother Nature has had to deal with nuclear the way she might have to deal with it now. So I hope she's versatile enough to deal with it. But that's a question I ask myself all the time. Are we going to be the generations or the last three or four generations that are actually responsible for extinction of life on the planet? I don't want to be part of that at all. But that, to me, is a real possibility. So,
well, I don't want to be part of that either.
Neither do I.
We got to get everybody else on the same page, right?
Well, yeah, we do. And that's why, you know, maybe sometimes we get down the rabbit holes and we share different thoughts, and maybe sometimes they sound extreme to people, but it's to me, none of it's extreme, because it's all a real possibility of the situation.
No more extreme than what we're experiencing now.
Well, yeah.
It's like the people that tell me without government there'd be chaos. Oh, really? What do we have now?
You know? Yeah. How much more chaos can we handle?
Okay.
Yeah. But anyways, going forward, what can we say? I don't want to get into government, man. I'm going to try and stay away from that conversation right now, because that'll get my blood pressure up. And right now, I'm kind of looking forward to maybe another couple of weeks of mushroom picking.
Just look at my picture and calm down.
we're in a pickle. But we have the answers, guys. We really do. I think that everything we see going on the planet right now, if the human race was to kind of put a halt on it and really kind of sat back and looked at the future and kind of looked 15, 20 years down the road, really, to me, Patty, it only takes people to look at some issues that are going on the planet. It doesn't take long to find out that, you know, we're experiencing the biggest mass extinction of species recorded in our recorded time, whatever period in time that is. Not to say that this hasn't happened before, but we're experiencing the biggest exodus of planet and species off the planet that we've ever seen before. And we combine that with the geological events that are happening, and I go, well, we are in for a bit of a ride. And where it's going, none of us know exactly. But
well,
it's good thing to talk about it, you know. It's
look
a conversation.
Across the globe, Barry, and all of these civilizations that have gone extinct, and they follow cyclical systems also, if you look at it. The thing of it is that today is different, because today we have the internet and we have been able to share information and ideas. And like you said earlier, we have so many solutions I mean, so many outside of the orthodox sciences and things that people themselves have gone and done the research and developed systems that can replace what we're dealing with now in a way that is beneficial to life instead of destructive to life. And there's so many of them in every, you know, for crops, for housing, for health, for everything. Everything we have developed free energy. You know, people say there's no such thing as free energy. Well, you haven't really done a lot of research, and you need to, because there's a lot out there that is being developed. But these people, they don't have big corporations behind them giving them big bucks to study this. They're in their garages. That's what we need is support, you know, to support each other.
Yeah, they'll never get the support of big corporations because there's no money in it, Patty. Anything that comes along that's beneficial to us, like you can't say the word free energy, but I'm absolutely 1,000% convinced that it is a reality. But to get the public to grasp it, to get the corporations to bring this along for us, something that's actually beneficial, get rid of oil, ain't going to happen. It's got to happen from within, and that's where the changes are going to come, community by community. People actually grabbing these ideas and making them work in their own lives and setting an example for people around them.
Well, we've got Tesla. Tesla brought us a treasure trove of knowledge and ways in which we can develop free energy. But look at what they have allowed to be developed, solar and wind, which are two of the weakest forms of renewable energy. They waste more energy than they produce, while we have actual free energy that we know exists because Tesla showed us it did. But where is that being utilized? In a frickin' electric car company, you know, by the name Tesla?
Yeah, it costs you a fortune to buy one. Great.
And what are they doing? What are they doing? Oh, that's right. They launched a freaking car into outer space. Wow, that's innovation. Wow.
You know? Patty, all we have to do is demand the development of the hydrogen cell, and oil would become obsolete overnight. Overnight. But they're not going to allow that to happen. They're not going to allow it. We can power everything we need on this planet with water. Well, does it get any simpler than that? And I say that to people, and we can prove it. It's not a science. It's a fact. It's not conspiracy.
We can build better houses.
We can build houses that don't burn. We can stop cutting down trees. We can stop using big farming simply by going back to the earth and using what the earth has given us to heal our bodies. But to get the people to do that, it's like, you know, you're up against the corporaticity, the indoctrination in our brains since the time we were old enough to understand or look at a TV that we need this, we need this, this is how this is run, this is how things work. But everything we're doing is killing the planet. We are not leaving a good future for our children, but we still have time right now to turn it around, Patty. I haven't given up. I don't believe that we're at the point of no return, but I honestly believe that if we don't make changes real quick in society and get people to change their thought, to change their list of priorities in their life, what's more important, being able to ensure that your children have a planet to live on in life or a new car or a new TV or a big house? Who cares? That's nothing. It's frivolous. It's materialistic crap that's going to mean nothing in the future, but it's what you're told you have to have. You got to get out of that mindset.
Is your faith in the system, or is your faith in your ability to come together and unify for one purpose only? Keep all your biases, keep all your ideologies, it doesn't matter. Come together for one unifying purpose, and that is to bring benefit to every living thing, to create technologies that only benefit. If it destroys one thing, it destroys all things. That's the truth. That is undeniable truth in this system that we live. We have to realize that it is up to us to stand up and say no more, because it never stops until we do that. Because why? We are the ones making this system go, and it will not ever stop as long as we support it. And as long as we support it, we will never have a system of benefit for every living thing. So we will continue to talk about these issues and people saying, but what can I do? But what can I do? When each one of us has the power in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to make the decision that changes everything. And every ill that you've ever faced, if we come together and work for a system of benefit, every ill that humanity and every other living thing has ever faced will vanish at that time when we do come together in unity for benefit. I've talked about this forever, forever, forever. And it's not a pipe dream. People tell me that, Barry, all the time, but it's not. We have the power. We are the power. We are the ones that make this rotten system go. We are the ones who are here right now, today, in this time. We're here because we can make change. You're here on the radio talking to me because you can make change and you know it. The people listening, they know that they can make change. So we're all here. The problem is that we got to get these other people on board. And we can't do that by turning our backs on them and saying, I don't want to talk to you, you're a sheeple. We got to step out of our box that we built for ourselves. We got to come together. This is what's important right now, not ideologies, not races, not any of this other stuff. You know, what's important is making a life worth living for everybody. And it's possible.
And, you know, simple things. I have found lately, Patty, that, you know, starting conversations with total strangers, somebody I've never met before, people are really receptive to conversation right now. And I've seen that kind of a shift lately, that people want to talk, but they're scared to talk, that they don't have anybody to talk to. They think they're all alone. I get people that we get into conversations and they see all this bad stuff going on, but they come back to me and say, well, you know, there's nothing I can do. I'm helpless. I'm just one little voice. Well, you don't realize the power you have. People don't realize the power they possess. And if we can get people to understand that they possess a lot of power, that they're not helpless, that there's lots of other people that feel the same way. I had a conversation 2 days ago, Patty, with a doctor. I was in her house doing some flooring. And she's about 28 years old. She's from South Africa. And we got talking about health of our society. And I put a question to her. I said, what is the biggest mitigating factor you think right now is affecting people's health in our society? And she looked me right in the eye and she said, our food. It is toxic beyond anything I've ever seen in my life. And yes. This came out of a doctor's mouth. Well, I didn't expect to hear that. I really didn't. Henceforth, we had a 15-minute conversation, Patty. And you know what? I think that was one of the best conversations I've ever had with a doctor in my life, because I told her exactly what I think about a lot of things, because, of course, it opened up a window of opportunity to discuss other mitigating factors. And I couldn't believe how receptive she is. But she's on the other side of the spectrum. But I'll tell you, she told me that now all she teaches her patients is nutrition. It's something that she is really hammering into her patients' head, that sicknesses that they're experiencing can all be solved by changing your diet.
And you cannot find nutrition.
I had off to her. I walked away feeling really good about that conversation. Well, right. You know what, guys? You can start conversations now. People really are receptive right now, because people do know there's a lot of stuff going on and they're all wanting to communicate about it. But there has been a breakdown in society as far as our ability to communicate with each other. That's a rabbit hole we could go down for hours. You know where it goes. I know where it goes, Patty. And a lot of people that are listening right now knows where that rabbit hole goes, why we've had this breakdown in communication, how it's been taken away from us. The viral age, we could talk about that for an hour. We don't have that time. But the fact is, society has learned has forgot how to communicate with each other.
And well, they've been taught not to.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So now what I'm seeing is a change. I'm seeing people wanting to talk about vital issues. So I think you get an opportunity to talk to people, folks. It might be a surprise how open people are, is what I'm trying to say, Patty.
Yep. And take that's that why opportunity. We're here.
Take that opportunity.
Yes. Nobody knows everything. But when we all put our minds together, we can figure out just about any possibility. We can figure out a solution. We're already proving that. We've already proved that. And the thing of it is we're up against, you know, we're just not out here trying to passively get this knowledge out there. We're up against a system that is hell bent on keeping us from gaining this knowledge, from implementing this knowledge, because if we empower ourselves, then they have no more power over us. So they're not going to give up. They're not going to give up. So it's up to us to step up. And, you know, our voice is one power that we have. But we have the ability to create. We have the ability to envision. We have the ability to build. We have the ability to step outside of every paradigm that's been given us and create new paradigms for us. We have that possibility, that power. That is our ability. And they know this. That's why we're in the shape that we are. That's why the food, even when you get it from the store and it looks like a beautiful eggplant, you know, it looks just like a healthy eggplant. That carrot looks just like a carrot that you would dig up out of the ground. But when you get home, there's no vitamins or nutrients in it anymore. They've been bred out of the soil. And if the soil doesn't have it, then the food being grown in the soil doesn't have it. It's just been given fertilizers and been grown through that. But there's no real nutrient value. That's why we're all suffering from vitamin deficiencies. That's why we're all ill, because of our lack of nutrition. We got to take that into our own hands.
The good thing about it, Patty, is we'll never have weeds growing inside of us, because the levels of glyphosate that are showing up all through the sites right now, we're guaranteed to never have a weed growing inside our body. Isn't that great? Don't you love Monsanto and Roundup?
Well, when I first started in healing, learning with Dr. Christopher's School of Natural Healing, that's a plug for anybody who's interested, because he's a vitalistic herbologist. He's no longer with us. His son carries on. But they deal in the actual nutrition of health, because that's what health is. We're organic. We thrive on organic nutrients, vitamins, and minerals. That's what our body utilizes. And if we don't give it that, it doesn't matter how much fake stuff you're going to give it. But when I first started out, I did this study on this group. Well, there was a study done. I read this study on a group at a university. And they took these kids out to a landfill. And they dug up 10-year-old hot dogs that were not decomposed, that were still, they still, you could tell it was a hot dog. And the professor also stated that it took a third less embalming fluid to embalm the dead than it did 30 years before that. So we're pickling our bodies, you know, we're as we're going, you know, we're preserving ourselves for posterity's sake, right? You know, think about it.
Well, you know what, Patty? I've made a lot of changes in my diet, and I've added Tagged to my body here in the last 4 years, and I still have a few bad vices. I'm not perfect. Every once in a while, in a blue moon, I'll eat a piece of junk food, but as a rule, I have learned that I grow a good percentage of my own food. We did a garden this year. I wasn't able there to maintain it, but some friends of mine maintained it, and I get a lot of stuff at the farmer's market because I know it's local, and I can preserve that. You stay away from processed food. You can take a list to the grocery store of all foods that contain GMOs, and you can shop and avoid GMOs. And you might have to change a few of your habits, but boy, I'll tell you, when you start doing these things to your body, and like I said, I'm not perfect, but every time I do something like that, or I add this to my body, or I take this away from my body really appreciates it. The stronger your body is, the stronger your mind becomes. So
it's amazing how vitamins, minerals, and nutrients can change a body. I mean,
If you're putting junk in your body, man, your brain is going to be junk. Your body's going to be junk. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. I've talked about that lots of times, Patty, especially with the native population around here. They must put – there is – you know, I know what goes on with junk food, but our native population up here live on it. And the health issues they have just boggle my mind. Well, can't they put one and one together and find out it adds up to two? There seems to be a real breakdown there, and that's something I talk about all the time. I talk with them when I get a chance about it, especially the elders, because they see this going on, and it's really sad. But go ahead. Just another example of food and what it does to you.
And
when you
think
live
about
on cheesies,
this.
You're going to look like a cheesy.
Right, and think about this. I mean, you know, organic food. That means, it used to mean that you grew this food naturally, that you didn't use herbicides, pesticides, that you allowed nature to help you, that your soil was vital, that it was alive, and therefore whatever grew from that soil was vital and alive. And so you're not putting all that extra junk on there, right? Okay, so how come when you go to the supermarket, you pay twice as much for that grown without all of those additives and less for the ones that are heavily inundated with chemicals? Where's the logic there? Oh, that's right. They have regulated organic food to the point to where the permits required to grow it are so exorbitant. And then we have people that get on this organic bandwagon and say, oh, there's money there. So they promote this system instead of fighting back against this regulation. Right. You know, this is what we're looking at. If it doesn't make sense, then it probably isn't sensible, right?
Well, if it doesn't make sense, you know the government's involved. Simple as that.
There you go. I mean,
that's a pretty broad statement, isn't it? But there isn't anything that government touches that doesn't turn to poop. So,
right.
Wake up. Oh, man.
My way of looking at things is if they say don't do it, oh, I got to do it, you know?
Well, it's, you know, just getting back to our salmon up here, Patty, when this really starts getting on our community, it's going to have such a devastating effect on the coastal areas because of the dependence on food fish by the native populations, on our commercial fishery, on our sports fishery. It's absolutely going to devastate. But this is actual fact now. This is not deniable. This is actually being seen by, and it was seen yesterday by a lot of people. So they're not going to be able to put the genie back in the bottle, and now it's going to come to public attention. And like I said, the ripple down effect just in our area alone for commercial and our sports fishing, next couple of years is going to be interesting, to say the least.
Well, the starfish too. I remember seeing that picture.
They're gone.
Of this. Oh my gosh, that was horrible.
You know, you can go to the low tide pools, and I've done this myself, and I used to go to the low tide pools all the time, and you go in there and you can see little crustaceans and little snails and all kinds of little organisms that are in those low tide pools, and of course, when the tide comes back in, they go back in the ocean, but you go to the tide pools now, and I can't see any life.
Well, I think you and Dana were the first ones I ever saw go to the tide pools to show this Fukushima.
Yeah, I was actually with Dana when we witnessed that. We went and looked at low tide pools. I looked in four different locations that day with him, and I've done it since then. I still can't find life in the low tide pools. So I'm going. We're also now. I'm getting lots of reports about this. Is that on the Nass River and some of the coastal city or towns like King Coliffe and what's the other one? Greenwood are experiencing a green slime and large buildups of this green slime. So that's something else I'm going to be looking into in the next couple of days because it's close to home for me. But it's coming. It is, Patty, and it's sad. It breaks my heart. It really does when I think about, you know, are we going to be to the point where we can't eat the fish out of the ocean? What are we talking about here? We're talking about mass starvation, and I don't want to see that for the human race, but it seems like it's right on our doorstep right now. And why can't people just go like, hey, we've had enough of this. What's going on? Are we committing suicide? Well, it seems like that's what we're doing. And what's it going to take, Patty? I don't know. I must be weird, but I don't want to see us all die. I don't want to see people starve. But realistically, that's what's coming if we don't turn it around. Am I being totally lunatic about this? But I don't think so.
Well, no, we have to do something. We're not at a position to not do anything. And like you said, more and more are waking up every day. We just have to work harder at it. It's not, you know, in the fear factor, you can't let that step in because that's their tool to keep us from speaking out, to keep us from acting out. You know, we should have all stood up when they started telling people that you cannot collect your own rainwater. We should have all stood up and said, you got to be kidding me. Back off, Jack. You know, when they came on people's land and told them, you can no longer have this land because we wanted to put this pipeline through, we should have all stood up and said, get the frick out. You know, we don't want that. We want free energy. And if you don't give it to us, we're going to build it ourselves. And we should have come together and built it ourselves. The good news is, Barry, we've still got that ability. It's not gone.
I agree, Patty. The window hasn't closed. I refuse to believe that the window's closed, but I've said many times that we all have to get involved. We all have talents. We all have something we can do to make a difference. And I'm doing what I can. I'm trying to live by an example. You know, I'm an anarchist now. I don't support the banking system. I've said this many times on my show. I don't have a bank account anymore. I haven't filed tax returns in 10 years, and I'm waiting for the government to come and take me away, but they haven't, and I've defied them a few times. If they come and take me away, Patty, I won't be here doing radio shows, but I refuse to support the beast.
I tell them to come get me all the time, and they know.
Yeah, I tell them to come and get me. I challenge you to come and get me, but they haven't come and got me yet, so pretty soon.
I ain't scared.
I got my dogs looked after. That's the most important thing. Just take care of my dogs. If I ever happen to go away, guys, or I have a reason to leave, just make sure my dogs are looked after. We're down to the last 4 minutes here, Patty, and I've enjoyed this conversation, as always, with you. But maybe you'd like to share with people where they can find you and listen to your shows and your train of thought.
Well, you know, Barry, I love talking to you because this is what we do. We get together and we just go, and we mesh together so well. I love you, and I thank you for having me on. And yeah, I do Turtle Talk on People for People Radio every Monday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. That'd be 9 p.m. UK time. Barbara Threecrow usually joins me, but tomorrow she's heading to the Atlantic coast. She's going to do a water ceremony there. So going to get a nice weekend over there, and she'll be back next Monday.
But, good for her.
Yeah. Barry, I love what you do. I believe in what you do. You got a wonderful heart, and just keep on keeping on. It's what we got to do. Live, love, laugh, and stand strong.
Well, thanks, Patty, for joining me. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and we'll do this again in the near future. Well, guys, we went from political to some of the stuff that we see going on the planet today. I want to thank you guys for joining me. It's been fun. And, you know, all is not lost, but like I said, I really believe it's time for us all stand up and be counted. And if that sounds corny to you, so be it, but that's the way I see things right now. We don't have forever to address these problems. Stuff I see coming from my children, it breaks my heart, and I hope it does the same to you and we get involved. Thanks for tuning in and listening to us talk today, and thanks to my guests. Thanks to Steve Roberts for producing my show. Thanks to PIR for giving me this platform to share my thoughts.
Thanks,
Steve.
We'll
see you again next week. Yeah, we'll see you again next week, same time, same place. Vinny Eastwood is going to join me next week, and another guest to be named. So tune in and listen to The Mouth That Roars. Have a great week, guys, and we'll be talking to you soon. God bless you all. Bye for now.